Hi, I'm CJ.
And I'm Kari.
And this is Expecting Expats.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Expecting Expats. Today, we are going to be discussing, really, CJ, your preparation for your second birth. And I know the first time was a vaginal birth that I think went well, or went as well as it could have been, maybe.
It did. I mean, I would say it was a good experience.
Yeah.
Despite everything. I mean, birth is always tough.
Birth is always hard. Yeah. I feel like as the more time that passes, you're like, nah, it wasn't that bad. Like, I was just, but then you think about it, you're like, well, it was actually really, really hard. But what are you doing then to prepare? What do you want? I mean, I have so many questions, like, what do you want changed? What are you doing? Yeah.
I mean, I think it has just started the last few weeks. Also, when we were on holiday, me and my partner started talking about it a bit. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, what do we need to prepare for this birth? And like, what are we going to do this time? And it's funny because I went back and looked in all my old messages, because I was sending like messages all the time to our common friend Jessica. Uh-huh. So I still could go back and really read like hour for hour what I was going
how
through.
How you were feeling.
Because I was just like texting her everything.
That's funny.
So yeah, there I could see. Actually, I did say already a few days after the birth that it was a good experience and I could do it again. So if I already said it back then,
yeah,
that gives me like reassurance. Like, okay, it wasn't so bad. Like, okay, it was intense, but
yeah,
I can do it again. I can do it again. That's like a big thing already. But yeah, what would I do differently? That's a good question, because I think the main thing this time is just like, we already have a child. That is the main thing that kind of concerns me, is like, what are we going to do with her during the labor?
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have any close family that could easily come here. I mean, we have asked Juan's parents to come when the labor starts, but they live like, if they leave right away, it will take them maybe 5 hours to get here.
Yeah.
And I was Googling, okay, how much time does it usually take, like the second birth?
Yeah.
And it says, from the contractions really start until the baby's there, it's like 4 to 8 hours.
Yeah, which the second births I heard are quicker.
Quick. And my first one from the contractions really started was, it was like 8 hours.
Okay, so this might one being 4 or...
You never know. That's the thing. You never know, because it could be that. So last time my water broke, that's how the whole thing started. And then it was still like a lot of hours before contraction started.
Yeah.
So if that happens again, then we'll have enough time.
Mm-hmm.
But I was, of course, I'm just Googling everything, and I Googled to see if it's more likely that my water will break again, but it says no. It's like, it's the same chance as for everyone.
Okay, interesting.
So yeah, I have no idea.
I mean, that's a good point. I know that some of our friends have volunteered, and they're like, yeah, if you need to call me at 2 a.m, like, I'll come. But I'm like, yeah, but I don't think you guys understand. It could then go into 2 p.m. during that day, right? Like in the morning till the day. Which would then mean you guys have to miss work, or someone has to be guiding. You know what I mean? Like,
It's not just like,
it's not just like a hey nighttime thing, or or even a daytime. Maybe if it's a daytime, but she'll be in the Kida kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah, I've thought about that a lot as well.
So, yeah, if everything goes well, we'll just call Juan's parents, and they can come hopefully in time and be with Emily. And otherwise, I have asked people here in Frankfurt. Like, I would have asked you if you were like super pregnant, you're gonna give birth before me, so you'll have a newborn to deal with. But I've asked some people, and they said, "Yeah, sure, you're like we'll come."
Yeah.
In case it goes really fast.
Okay.
And his parents are not there in time.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I'm like, can we just call people at 4 a.m? What if? I mean,
yeah,
it's not.
Yeah.
It's just different. Like, if it was our parents, it's not a problem. But well, it just feels like a big favor to ask.
Yeah, that's the thing as well, that I was like, okay, if I go into the hospital at, like, the 5-minute contractions, mm-hmm. right, then does that mean that we can prepare people? Like, hey, everyone, I'm laboring, but it's not time yet. But yeah. Decide to come in 1 or 2 hours.
Yeah.
Or, like, yeah, I don't know.
No, so that's like, we have talked a lot of different scenarios through. Also, if it happens in the night, if it happens during the day when she's in the Kita, or should we bring her to the Kita? If it starts in the morning? Well, all these questions that I'm still not really sure.
Yeah.
For the birth itself, I think last time we did a class together, me and my partner. Mm-hmm. And I also did, I read a book called Pain-Free Birth, which is like a very popular method in Denmark, mm-hmm. where you also do these exercises, like breathing exercises.
Yeah.
And it's also about like having a vision, mm-hmm. doing the contractions.
Positive things, yeah.
Yeah.
Because is your book though about as well, like breathing through contract, not yeah. breathing through, but like, I was reading about breathing through, but like, pushing the baby's gonna naturally come out, mm-hmm. just so like breathing through it, just like, okay, you're just gonna fall out of me, just like breathe kind of thing. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of says like you should think of birth as if you're gonna run a marathon, mm-hmm. and prepare the same way, like not okay. the same way, but you should prepare. Yeah.
To know that it's a long time. It's not, you shouldn't run from the gates, like
yeah.
going as fast as possible, like, yeah. because it's not like that. You have to keep a steady pace.
Yeah. And you should like train for it. So it's really yeah. like says from week, I'm not even sure which week, but you should start practicing every mm-hmm. day, these breathing exercises. And mentally it's something like every time you have a contraction, you should have a mental image of, for example, running up a hill. Mm-hmm. Or for me, it was like riding a wave, like
oh yeah,
rowing up uh-huh. on a wave. Uh-huh. And then when you're at the top, that's when the contraction is at its peak.
Yeah.
And then you go down.
Yeah.
And then you have a break.
Well, that's nice to think about, actually.
So that's like just something you can focus on while you're having. Because you know usually a contraction is, what is it, 30 seconds to a minute? I don't even remember these things
yeah,
anymore.
Yeah, 30 to 90 seconds.
Yeah.
That's what I was reading as well. Like, just, like, that's what I'm planning on doing is, like, okay, 30 to 90 seconds.
Yeah.
I used to sprint workouts a lot when I was training for a marathon. And you're, like, you would just sprint for 30 to 90 yeah. seconds and then stop for, that's, like, 2 minutes and then yeah. do it again.
That would be a good image for you to maybe practice or to yeah. have. And it can be like a very concrete, like you have to like know what you will see, like which mm-hmm. stretch outside, if it's like a particular place in the forest or by the river.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
you have to really have that mental image.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a really, really good point though, to think that way. I mean, I've heard of it like that, but it's interesting that you've done it and yeah. you're like successful at it.
Yeah, I will say the breathing exercises in the end didn't help that much for me, because the breathing in this book is like very fast breathing. Mm-hmm. And at the birthing class I went to last time, it was more taking like a breath in and then like a long breath out.
Yeah, yeah.
And with sound yeah. also.
Yeah, to like... Yeah.
You can breathe out longer, actually, if you make a sound, mm-hmm. a deep sound, not like a high pitched sound, but like a deep sound.
Yeah.
And that's actually what I ended up doing when contractions were really rough. Mm-hmm. So that's something probably I will do again. I mean, let's see how it goes, but...
Are you planning then... So last time I know Juan was there most of the birth or most of the labor, right?
He was there the whole time.
Is he planning on being there the whole time this time or just yeah. coming during active labor?
I mean, it all depends on if someone is there with Emily. Yeah. If someone is there with Emily and he's allowed to be with me, because last time was also COVID, so I don't even know what's normal anymore.
Hopefully the rules. I mean, I think the rules are all done now, but I was thinking that as well because it was a, with what's going to happen with Dagny. And I'm like, well, maybe I can just go to the hospital for a bit before and then you come later. But then, I don't know.
Yeah. For example, if my water breaks again and I don't have contractions, I mean, I was just hanging out. There was like not really a need for him because I just had to stay at the hospital and wait until things started. So if that happens again, I'll probably say just stay with Emily and then come as soon as someone is there or
I mean,
when something happens, if I start having contractions and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I was going to ask, though, I mean, is there anything in the birth, though, like during labor that you would want to do differently, like move different positions or like, I don't know if you did a water bath or anything like that during it or.
Yeah, I would maybe like to get in water. I wanted that last time, but there was not enough time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if there'll be time now. But otherwise, I was when I had to push, I was sitting on this birthing chair.
Mm-hmm.
And it did work really well. Like I pushed her all the way out while sitting on that chair.
Yeah.
But now I read that actually in Denmark, they advise that you do just part of it on the chair and then the last bit in a different position because there is a more risk of tearing if you push them out while you sit on the chair. Yeah. And I did tear quite a lot.
I've read that tearing the best position to like not have tearing mm-hmm. is to be actually like laying down on your side.
Yeah.
With your legs kind of like with a pillow or not a pillow, but like almost like a ball in between.
Mm-hmm.
And then you push out that way. And then someone of course has to catch the baby, but like, then that, I don't know why, but your body somehow is like not in a position where it should tear that much. But again,
no, that, yeah, I mean, you can never be sure.
Yeah.
But I think I would try different positions. Mm-hmm. I still don't want to like lay on my back.
Yeah.
If I can avoid it. But that might be something I try. Or maybe I'll do like part of it on a chair or.
Well, that's a thing that was so interesting to me because when they were like, I mean, again, I've taken out two courses, but they both basically said that when you're on your back, the part that's the most flexible that should be moving to allow mm-hmm. the baby to come out isn't moving.
Yeah.
So I really don't understand why, especially in movies and everything like that, you always see women just on their backs.
Yeah.
And then even when they have an epidural, I'm like, what are you guys doing? And they're like laying there. I'm like, how though then can you not tear, but then help the baby like be pushed out when that flexible sacrum, not flexible, but it should be moving to allow the baby space for its head.
I know. I mean, it's it's all for the sake of the doctor who, so they can see, so they can sit down in a chair and like see what's going on. I know. But like, it's not the ideal way to give birth.
Right. So, and I mean, don't get me wrong, this is my first birth, so, or hopefully, knock on wood, I can have a vaginal birth because, like I said, like, I was hobbling out of the hospital as well, like, after my C-section, but it was painful.
Yeah.
Where I don't know a vaginal birth, like, everyone I've spoken to that has a successful VBAC has been like, even though I tore, even though whatever, like, I was still able to do stuff.
The healing is better probably than a C-section because C-section is such a huge surgery.
Yeah, it is. And so, but I think it's good though that, you know, you're very focused, positive.
Yeah.
About like, you know.
I'm not scared at all for the birth. It's really like practical things
like what are involving we doing with Emily. yeah.
And then, we did talk about that maybe we would like my partner to catch the baby.
Yeah.
And tell me what the gender is because we don't know what the gender is.
Oh, yeah.
So it would be kind of special if he is the one who like sees it.
Yeah.
again, where there's like, it's not, if it doesn't work out, it's not a problem. We will not be disappointed, but we will ask the Hibami probably to see if she can make it happen, that he catches the baby.
No, that's really good. No, I was going to tell you though, and just warn you that if you do, when you do go to your hospital registrations, just say, yeah. I don't know the sex of my baby, because they'll do the ultrasound on you just to make sure like the baby's not breech and everything like that. And then today, I mean, he was clearly showing like the penis. I mean, it was like a penis on the screen, you know? And he's like, do you know the sex? I'm like, well, there's clearly a penis on the screen. So and yes, I do. Yeah. It's a boy. And he's like, okay, yeah. Because it's a boy. I'm like, I can clearly see that you're focusing the ultrasound on it, you know?
Yeah.
But I was just thinking, yeah, it just reminded me. Like, I'm like, you might not. They don't focus on it. You're just, just FYI, I don't know the sex. And so they won't have to, the gender.
No, good point. No, I still say it every time I go to the doctor and get an ultrasound. Like, I don't want to know.
Okay, good, yeah.
And I don't have to look away until it's, like, safe, until I'm, she's...
Until you're like on the head or the heart or something on the face.
Now it's safe to look at the screen.
Oh, that's so sweet.
Yeah.
No, that's great. I mean, and if you have any updates for us, especially after you have your registrations with the hospitals and you decide what hospital to go to.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to hear like why you chose that one more than the other.
Yeah, I just really want the one that's right next to where we live. It's literally on the same block.
CJ and I live on the same street, if no one knows this, and the hospital's like 3 blocks away from us.
Yeah.
It's a very, I don't want to say like a boutique hospital, but it's just a nice, small hospital that they do only a couple things, and one of them is they do births.
I know. Yeah, and I mean, no hospitals are cozy, but this is a cozier one than...
Yeah.
The big hospitals, I feel.
Well, I just know where to go. I'm like, okay, I'm going here. I'm going to eat my food here. That's a nice little pizza place, because other places don't have nice pizza places around.
No, this one has,
one, a very nice one. It has a waterfall when you walk in, a little terrace. And then I've had you have to book a family room or ask to have a family room as well. But all their family rooms have balconies.
So nice.
Yeah, it is very, very nice. So
I couldn't go there last time because they were renovating the birth section in October, which was the month I had to give birth. And I remember I was crying for so long when they told me, because I had already, maybe I hadn't registered, but I had been there a few times for some checks for other reasons.
Yeah.
And kind of already... like agreed with them, I'll give birth here and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then when it got close and I found out, I was so sad.
Yeah, and honestly, it's just like not packed. Like, it's not a packed house when you go there. Like, I went to the uni clinic and there's so many pregnant women and so many families and dads coming in only during visiting hours and whatnot. And then this one was just like, okay, there's like 5 of us.
Yeah,
you know, you're like, there was really only like 5 of us, and you're like, oh, okay, cool. And then they just have I mean, after a while, because I was there for like 3-4 days because I had a C-section, but you know, I was giving Dagny a mixture of formula and breast milk just to make sure she was gaining weight.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, just go in there and get your own breast milk, do your own thing, like their own kitchens. You can store your own food because some people have their own dietary needs. Mm-hmm. So like people were bringing like in, they must have been there before because they knew, like they had Tupperware containers and then like in the fridge, like with labeled. Wow. It was like, it was like a... Oh, this is nice. Like, I'll do that next time. Like, I felt like it was just like a family kind of.
Yeah.
So
cozy.
Anyway, so well, I'm excited to hear about your journey. Cause how far are you along? 32 weeks or 33? Or
no, I'm a bit more than 30.
Okay.
So, yeah, potentially there's still like 10 weeks or more. But since Emily came at 38 weeks, I have it very much in my mind that it will be around 38 weeks.
Yeah.
Actually, I'm like, I have a bet going with my partner when this baby is coming, and I think it's going to be on Emily's birthday.
That's going to be really funny.
Because there's like...
Emily's going to love it.
If you look at statistics, it's like often like a few days before. Yeah. And like this due date is 2 days after Emily's due date was. And so it would come like 2 days earlier. Anyway.
I'm excited.
We'll see. We'll find out.
Yeah. That's really exciting. Well, no, well, good. Well, then thank you as well for, I guess, telling us about your story and all. And then thank you all for listening to us and to this episode. And remember to subscribe to @expectingexpats on our Instagram, on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts. Subscribe, like, and comment.
Yes, please.
Speak with you guys later. Bye.
Bye.